It's Against All Odds presented by FanDuel. You know, the playoff action is heating up, and with FanDuel, you can bet on everything from the NBA Finals MVP to who's going to lift the Stanley Cup. Right now, check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. You filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 or older, 18 or older in D.C., and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
It's done. Goal of the year, Panarin! Part of the past, the celebrations forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History, we're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Spotify, Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday night, a tumultuous Tuesday night. Mikey Meatballs producing this disaster of a show. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the D3, Harry, Brother Brian, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
All right, here's what's going on. Here's what's up. Need to get this out there. Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club in Las Vegas Saturday. Harry and I will be there. We have an event. We're going to be streaming it on Twitter and Instagram. There's going to be trivia prizes, Kentucky Derby party, free betting slips, an all-you-can-eat buffet, Harry, brisket sliders, a free mint julep. Beautiful. $25. Can you make it, Harry? You've had a crazy week. You've been in many, many cities this week. Can you make one more trip?
All over the place, but Sal, my ticket is booked. Let's have a blast.
All right.
Kentucky Derby. I'm doing my homework. I'm doing all my homework. I'm doing a lot. I'm figuring a lot of, I'm going to have my exacta.
Really? Okay. I predicted you'd have a lot of exactas and a lot of mint juleps. We're going to have Kenny Mayne on Cousin Sal's winning weekend to help us with this race too. That's on Friday on FanDuel TV along with these guys. So Harry will be there Saturday, provided his dentist appointment doesn't conflict. We still have not figured out if that's the case. Listen, I want to talk about the NBA playoffs. I want to talk about Race to 10. It was a win. I want to talk, you know, we're going to get to Shark Tank. We're going to do some NFL futures for the rookie receivers. But Parlay Kid, we're fresh off the Sixers-Knicks game. The Knicks blew it. As badly as the Sixers blew game two, I think. I know it feels worse for you, but my God, to lose that game, what are your feelings right now? It's very fresh, about a half hour ago.
Yeah, it's kind of a devastating loss. It didn't seem possible. And you might say, well, look, you stole one. Now they stole one.
That's exactly what I was thinking, but go ahead, tell me.
Right.
Is that not right?
But at the same time, it's always the case.
Right.
And that the highs of a win sometimes cannot match or equal out to the lows of a loss. And this was a very, very difficult one to swallow, especially as a Knicks fan. We've seen, you know, growing up, Sal, we saw, you know, the Reggie Miller game and,
right.
You know, some things just seem like sometimes they seem cursed at times. I don't think this Knicks team is. I think they win this series. Maybe we just are being blessed with more great basketball ahead. So
this is the best series. And a basketball fan who doesn't care would want this to continue. Unless you really want Embiid out of there, since he is like pretty much the most hated player in the league. But 94-88 is when OG makes that second free throw with 59 seconds left. Oh, let's take it another. I'm sorry. Take it another 30 seconds. McBride makes the 14 footer, puts it at 96-90. And then Parlay Kid, Maxey. I'm sorry, brother Brian Maxey with that 25 foot. It seemed longer. It says 25 foot 3-pointer and foul.
Well, that was the first one.
That was the first one. That was the foul by Robinson, which was terrible because, again, if that Robinson foul doesn't happen, you're still up three. They got to foul you.
And you make one. It's over.
Right. And look, you likely to probably call a timeout after a three. You get the ball into Brunson. He probably makes two. I mean, who knows? I mean, the fact too, then after that, you know, you get the ball to Hart. I know Hart was trying to get rid of the ball to Brunson, but that was crucial too. You get the miss there.
Crusher missed both free throws. So now that it's up three, and Maxey, that's right, makes the 34 footer with 8 seconds left, Harry. And we couldn't believe it. Well, I could believe it because the parlay kid was about 15 seconds ahead of us. But then I saw it a second time. I couldn't believe it.
I'll say this. You know, I slam the NBA all the time, but I will say this. Already in the first round of the playoffs, more drama, better endings already than we saw all of last year in the playoffs. I know most of it's been Knicks, Sixers. Some of it was Lakers in Denver, but still, it's been pretty good.
It's been good. It hasn't been good for me the last couple of days. I'm working on six in a row that my 9.5s haven't won, but still way ahead. The Knicks now minus 400 parlay kid to win the series, up 3-2, going to Philly. I wonder, are the fans out of money or are they going to make the pilgrimage over there again?
Oh boy, that's going to be, I think the Philly fans are going to try to do a much better job of holding on to their tickets this time around and keeping the Knicks fans out of there. I think there'll still be a nice crowd there because down 3-1, the Knicks fans might have already jumped on those game six tickets, right?
Right. They have to be a little 3-1. More expensive. I got to check this out now. Right.
Plus, look, it's a weekday. It's going to be a lot harder for fans to get down there. I mean,
that's true too. Wait a minute. Now I got to look now.
Just buy the tickets up. I mean, that you can take a train. You could always take a train and get there.
Yep.
It's fine.
Yeah, for sure. Philly Sixers at net. Wait, that's May. Okay. So May 2nd. So what were the tickets going for?
The lowest ticket, it looks like it's $86. Is that right?
I don't see that. I see like 182 or 200.
All right. That changed. You know, sometimes on StubHub you get that. It's probably giving you a parking pass.
What was it the other day? Was it, when they went?
It was what? 110? 100?
It's still worth it. It's still
150.
Those are $600 seats at the Garden, right?
So people will go. Yeah.
People will go. All right. So that's that. Now we can talk race to 10, which is what everybody cares about. We had the Bucks. The parlay kid gave it out Monday. He said for Tuesday, race to 10 Tuesday, we're going to bet the Bucks at minus 106 to score 10 points before the Pacers. They were down 8-5. It was frenetic. We're watching a million things. The Islanders, the Knicks, the Mets had just won a million different things. And then look what happens. The Bucks down 8-5, Harry. And what happened?
Yeah. Down 8-5. We hit a 3, Middleton.
Yeah.
8-8. Pacers missed.
Jeez.
I mean, they stepped out of bounds,
right? We pull it out, 10-8.
All right. There you go. Middleton scored 8 points. I think I'll have to look back. And by that, I mean, I'll never look back. But 8 points, I think, in a 10, race to 10 is the most we've ever had. So good job by you. Good job by Mr. Penza. He gets a free $50. I got to pay that guy. He's a big fan for many, many years. Mr. Penza. It's on my list for Wednesday, along with
For Mr. Penza.
Yeah, it's good. It's good for Mr. Penza. It's good for Race to 10 franchise. And now we move on. So we're going to do the Wednesday games, but we're also, let's knock out the series price. Nuggets minus 205 plus 164 if you want the T-Wolves in that series. Now this went down from minus 280, Brian, right? Like I wasn't seeing things. This was minus 280. It opened that and everybody was like, that's too much. That's too much. Too much. Turns out it was too much. Went down to minus, has been bet down to minus 205. I don't think I've ever seen a series line go down in basketball that much late in the season for no injury purposes. Right.
Well, it was weird too, right? Cause I asked you guys to guess and my guess, I guess minus 175. And then when you said minus 285, and it's like, wow, I was way off on that. Yeah. And then 2 minutes later, it was 255. And then, yeah, it dropped down even more. A lot of people are believing in the Wolves.
Right, this now is a sexy choice, right? Because they disposed of the Suns. They got rid of them. That was supposed to be a close series, Harry. The Suns just did not show up. Some games didn't show up at all. But for the most part, they didn't. And the Nuggets struggled with the Lakers. Do you think that's a fair number, Harry? 205, 164?
I do, but also you got to remember Minnesota dominated the Suns, but the Suns have absolutely no inside play whatsoever.
Right.
And Denver does with Jokic and Gordon, who's dominant and down low, both of those guys.
So I have Denver. And so it's a sexy choice to take T-Wolves. They are a live dog here at plus 164. All the experts love, well, don't count out the T-Wolves. This is going seven. They could win. Maybe they can win in six. I'm sticking with the Nuggets. I have them to win the West. I know I'm not going out on a limb here. They did play a tough Lakers. That was a tough series, even though they knocked them out in five. It's hard to look good against that Lakers team. They keep coming at you, and the matchups weren't really there for them. I'm not sure if they're going to be there this series against the T-Wolves. I know they're not going to be, out free throw. That's for sure. You're not going to see games where Jokic doesn't go to the line like you did in game five against the Lakers. So that'll be different for sure. It's not going to be easy. I'm sticking with my Nuggets pick, but they have props. They have player props for the series. I'm going to go with Jokic most assists minus 185. It's a big number. I know it is, but listen to me. Why it should be even bigger. Conley and Ant Edwards averaged 6.3 assists,
right,
on the playoffs, and they average in the fives in the regular season. So they've actually stepped it up a little bit. Jokic averages 9 assists. He flirts with a triple double every game. Brother Bri is right there with that bet. Every single time. He had 49 assists in 5 games against the Lakers. He seems to get more unselfish as the playoffs roll along. Miami and the Lakers last year, he had games of 14 and 17. He had assists a game against Phoenix last year. He averaged 9 a game in the first round versus Minnesota last year. This should be well over 2-1 odds, I think. This is not points where Edwards could have 52 and screw everything up for me. This is assists, and that's pretty consistent. And that's why I love Jokic at minus 185. Now, Harry, you're more concerned about the series and game one in particular.
Yeah, I'm going to go Denver wins game one and they win the series at minus 120. I just mentioned Minnesota was very impressive versus Phoenix, but the Suns, like I said, super soft inside. The Nuggets aren't. Jokic and Gordon versus Cat and Gobert is going to be a battle down low. It's going to be a lot of fun, but ultimately I think Denver prevails. These two met in the first round last year. Denver won 4-1, one game won by 29 points in the Western Conference semifinals last year. Also Denver won game one versus Phoenix by 18, went on to win that by 6. The underdogs, a lot of times in this game, you mentioned that Minnesota is a sexy pick, but a lot of times in these game ones, the underdog just gives up and just tanks in game one and comes back stronger in game two. I think that's kind of what's going to happen here. Minnesota, very tough. I think this will go 4-2, but I think Denver wins the series and definitely wins game one.
They are favored by 4.5. That went down too. 4.5 now in game one. 208 is the over under. Bri, what's it going to take? What's this guy going to have to do for Harry to pronounce his name right? Why does he have to say Jokic? Didn't the whole world say Jokic? Jokic is actually easier to say. Like a baby would say Jokic. Like if you're like, his name is Jokic. Like, oh, next year he calls him Jokic.
J's are tough.
Really? Right. Are you tough, Spanish? Yeah. Like what's the problem here? All right. Jokic. Bri, you think this is going to be a long series?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to take the Nuggets in 7 at plus 410. And I really like watching the Wolves. They're a fun team to play. And obviously the way Anthony Edwards has ascended, they are a fun team to watch here. Legit contender. But, the thing is, people forget last year, right? The Nuggets win in 5, but 4 of those 5 games were really close in the fourth quarter. And again, like I said, the way Edwards has been playing, it's really, really tough series. But the one thing that I think about over and over, the reason why it's so hard to go against the Nuggets, and the same for the Lakers, and it was the same in every series last year, the Nuggets just close out games so well. They just finish these games so strong, because if it's a close game between Jokic or Murray, it's just like it's so hard to defend them. So, but I do think this goes. I think it goes 7, and I hope it goes 7. I think these are going to be. Now, look, we might see a couple of blowouts, but I think they're going to be generally pretty close, fun, hard contested games. My only worry about the Nuggets is, I mean, Murray was fantastic in the last game, but you just worry that one of those guys could get a little hurt. just because they're playing so many minutes, and the bench is definitely weaker than last year. So that's my only concern.
Plus 410, though, you get for Nuggets and seven. So that's a fun one. All right, Parley, get back to the player props. This is fun, too. I took a look at this, too.
Yeah, I think I would have probably gone Nuggets and seven, but for the series to go seven, I don't see it happening any other way. But since everybody else had jumped on those, I looked at the props, and I'm going to take Michael Porter Jr., to have the most three-pointers at plus 220. He is the favorite here to do that. He averaged four per game in this Lakers season, shot the ball extremely well, and he's the beneficiary of getting so many open looks because of Jokic passing the ball from the low post to open players. Teams also focusing on Murray. He's really the third, or even in some cases, a fourth option for Denver. So he can kind of go unrecognized. Where Edwards, who you might say, well, maybe he'll hit the most threes, will draw a lot more attention to him himself. If he's going to make them, he's not going to be as open as, say, Porter should get the more open looks. I'll take Porter stays hot and still get a pretty nice price at a guy who has just been on fire in the playoffs at plus 220.
All right, there you go. So that's our analysis for the Denver-Minnesota series. A lot of people saying winner of that wins the West. A lot of people saying winner of that wins the whole thing. So I looked at a bracket, and there still are other series left to play. So that's not exactly true, even though people say. Anyway, let's go to Wednesday games. Celtics up to 14-198 versus the Heat. They're up 3-1. I'm going to make this nice and quick. I'm taking Celtics. I had a couple ranges in there, but I found Celtics by 19.5 or more is plus 182. I think this Heat team is done. I think they made their point. They stole a game, you know, without Jimmy Butler. And so that's it. I think now they lost and lost convincingly, and they know they can't win this series. Not to mention the Celtics really can't afford to take their foot off the gas because they're well aware of what an inferior Heat team could do if you let them back in. If this is 3-2 going back to Miami, now all of a sudden you have a little bit of a problem. But that's not to say that they're not going to win by 20 points. They already have two 20-point wins, and they were ahead by 28 in the game where they won by 14. They had a 29-point lead in one of those other 20-point wins. They had a 34-point lead in the other 20-point lead. I think the Heat lost their will. They're not going to be able to come back. They're going to be down in that 30-31 range and not going to be able to tighten the margin there in the fourth quarter. Give me Celtics by 19.5 plus 182. Harry, you like them to just thump this team too.
Yeah, I like that, Sal, and I like this one too. Celtics on Celtics lead at the end of every quarter at minus 174. We got to lay a price here, but it seems really good value at minus 174 with the facts that you were just giving out as well, Sal. Like Miami had, you mentioned, they had their moment in game two, but since then they've been totally outmatched. In Boston, three wins in the series, they've won by 14, 20, and 20. And in the last two games, they've led in all eight quarters by a sizable margin. I know the Celtics haven't been great at home in the last 2 years in the playoffs, but they dominate the Heat, and they dominated the Heat in game one this year, and I think they roll on Wednesday into the second round. Celtics lead at the end of every quarter, minus 174.
Does this, you lose on a tie, though, right? If the second quarter is 24-24, you lose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that'll be funny. We'll look for that. All right. Brother Bri, we caught this. I don't think either of us has seen this on FanDuel or anywhere until the other day, and now you're jumping on it. It's a good one.
Yeah, look, I like yours a lot, Sal, because I do think this is somewhat of a blowout here for the Celtics, especially if, you know, if they put a beating on them in the first half. But I like either team to score 12 points, 12 plus points in a row at plus 100. You know, they offer this to score 10 plus in a row, which I think is like minus four. It's weird. It's like minus 400 for 10 points in a row, 12 points, you're getting even. And then I think if you do 15 plus, you get a pretty good number. It's usually like 4-1 or maybe a little bit higher here. But again, it's got blowout written all over it. And the way the Celtics in stretches can play defense at times, they're going to go on some big runs. I think 12 straight doesn't, I don't think it's a lot of points here necessarily in this game, especially if they're going up 30 at some point in this game. I like the blowout. Again, if you like better, you know, if you want a little better value, you think they can get to 15 straight, go ahead and take it. But I'm all over the
9.5, so I'm not sure. And the theory behind it is the variance with the threes. Teams are making threes at a much higher rate. When they're missing badly, and so that's where the discrepancy is. I'm surprised FanDuel puts something like this up nowadays. Now, maybe the number's not great, plus 100. I haven't figured it out, but 12 points used to be 7 possessions. Now it's 4. A lot of times it's just 4, right? Mm-hmm. 12 points to score 12 points in a row. So right in there. Certainly. So, all right. Parlay Kid, again, we're talking threes here. Jaylen Brown over 2.5 threes. You get a plus number here.
Yeah. If you just give me a second on some of the other things I saw that I kind of liked, and it leads to like kind of what Brian was just saying. There's a 20-1 bet out there. It's probably very far fetched against this Heat team, but Celtics to have 100 points after three quarters is 20-1 on FanDuel. Might be something like they just run away with it from the start. I also like any player to record 10 plus assists at plus 470 might be a nice little number for a guy like Holiday, or you get multiple players. One guy has it plus 470. But I'm sticking with Jaylen Brown over 2.5 three-pointers. I think right now he's sitting at plus 142 for that. No KP in this game. Probably going to get some more shot attempts. First two games, hit 7 of them combined. Last two is hit 1, right? And we normally see this is how this goes. I think here is just a bounce-back performance game from Brown in terms of his shooting. And I'm getting a plus number for a guy that averages 2 a game and several games goes over 2. It's not something we haven't seen him do before. So without KP in there, I'll take Brown to have even a bigger impact in this game. Take him over 2.5 three-pointers at plus 142.
All right. Celtics had 91 heading into the fourth quarter in one of those games. So it could be maybe 20-1.
Yeah, yes.
Could be a good number there. All right. Dallas at the Clippers. Boy, this has gone up. Now it's 3. Mavericks, 3-point favorite on the road. 207.5 is the over-under. That number's gone down. I just think the Mavs are better. The Clippers came out really hot on, was that Sunday? And then the Mavs outscored them by 18 over the last three quarters. I actually wish we were doing this race to 10 because I'm very confident that the Mavericks are going to get, it's going to be like 10-2 or 10-3 or something like that. Dallas has been the favorite in 50 games this season, come away with a win 37 times, so almost 75%. I feel like every team goes through this, right? Like Kawhi sits, like, are they better without Kawhi? Like that Simmons calls this the Ewing theory. I think every team has a mini Ewing theory where it doesn't maybe last for the whole year, but it lasts for a game and then reverts back to the norm. I think that's what's going to happen with the Clippers and Mavs. The Mavs are just better. Like I said, and like Luka said, feels like he let Kyrie down. There's a lot of crazy talk in the NBA right now. Like, who's ever let Kyrie down? When was the last time Kyrie ever heard that he was the one that was let down? But anyway, I'm going Dallas -3. I think they win by double digits here. Harry, you're on Luka to, he's not going to let Kyrie down again, according to you.
Right. He's going to make at least 5 threes. That's what I'm betting. At least 5 threes. At plus 145. Yeah, Sal, you mentioned he's tired of letting his teammates and Kyrie down for his poor 3-point shooting, even though he had a triple double still in game 4. But at home, he was only 4 of 23 from 3 in game 3 and game 4. In LA, for a pivotal game 5, Luka shows up, especially from long range. And in LA versus the Clips, he has made at least 5 threes in 5 of his last 6 games there. So you're getting a plus 145 price on Luka, who's done something 5 of the last 6. I think that's pretty good at plus 145.
All right. What do we have here? All right. But Parley Kid, you think Kyrie is not going to let Luka down. So this is nice. It's a nice mutual understanding they have here.
Well, I'm taking Kyrie to have the most 3-pointers at plus 320. I mean, he's coming off a game where he just had 6. He's averaging 4 per game for the series. He gets a ton of shots up. Getting too good of a number here to pass it up, Sal, plus 320. He's as good a shot as anybody else to hit this. And like I said, 25 field goal attempts last game, 12 three-point attempts, went 6 for 12. He's hit a minimum of 3 in each of the games in this series. One, good number.
Pretty
here.
Good.
Good number here for that.
Pretty
Very good.
Good
number.
All right, Brother Bri, Derek Jones, you got a player prop for him.
Yeah, I'm going to go under 9.5 points at minus 125. I still can't believe like Derek Jones actually starts for a team. It's crazy to think that he's starting for a playoff Mavericks team. And he has averaged 12 points over his last three games after not scoring at all in game one. But the reason I like the under here is, look, in the last three games, he's shooting over 60% from the field, which is not likely for a guy like Derek Jones at all. So I don't see this happening again, especially going on the road here. In game five here. So give me the under 9.5.
All right. Let's take a break. It's been a while. You guys look exhausted. No, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we got hockey. We got baseball play of the day. We're going to hit some NFL and Shark Tank. We will be right back with all that. All right, NHL. We got to check in with Mikey Meatballs because as upset as the Parlay Kid is, his son, Mikey Meatballs, is no bigger Islander fan. Michael, I know yet. You were positive. You and the Parlay Kid thought they could win and come back, the Islanders, but what they end up, they tied it at 3, and then you don't even want to tie it at that point if they're going to lose 6-3. How, what are you feeling right now?
I don't even care.
I don't believe that.
It doesn't matter. I
don't,
whatever.
I don't believe it.
No, Michael can't. Michael, that's... You guys got to play now.
You're not. Stop playing it cool. You got
to
put a shield up. Otherwise,
you know what it is.
Listen, I don't have to watch him for another 6 months. Yeah. So
you know what? You know why, Michael? Listen, Michael. You know you don't believe that because one, honestly, like we really get into the Islanders, but they just seem to have hit a wall as a team. They've taken this team as far as they could. They need to retool the team. That's for sure. But the bottom line is the Knicks loss was so bad tonight. You almost just have tossed this Islander. It's like, oh, I can't even
no, that think I don't think Michael Islanders. Cares about that. If I asked about the Knicks, I think he honestly would say, I don't really care about the Islanders.
No, the Knicks, the Knicks is worse. The is Knicks is worse? Much worse.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I know it's a worse loss. I know it's just. Yeah,
I just think at this point,
they have a chance.
Realistically speaking, you think the Knicks could go further than the Islanders could go.
Got it. All right. Well, Hurricanes are plus 390 to win the Cup. Panthers plus 490. There you go. Edmonton at 5-1. We're going to go over a few games here. Edmonton in this game five against the against the Kings. Boy, they beat them 1-0. The poor Kings outshot Edmonton 33-13. Couldn't scratch out a goal. And so now they're down 3-1 against this Oilers team, just a powerhouse. They really are. I'm taking a little chance here going under 6.5 goals at minus 120 because in a closeout game, the team that's behind in the series and behind in the game really could keep their goalie pulled for like 72 minutes. Like really could just go on forever. But I'm going to stay under. The first three games went over, 1-0. Game four, obviously under. Stuart Skinner, first playoff shutout for the Oilers. Talbot will hold his own, I think. King's power play has been bad news, 0 for 11. And they were one of the better teams with an advantage during the regular season. I think this is a 3-1 final, keeps it under 6.5. And I think actually the series will extend. All right, we got props all over the place for this game. Paulie Kidd, you think there's going to be a few goals in here. Connor McDavid.
Yeah, I just think because of the last game where there was just really no goals scored, I just think this is the type of game where you can't really hold this Oilers team down for two straight games. It's just I don't see it happening. I got McDavid with three plus points at plus 230. McDavid's already hit this in two of the four games. He had close to 13 or 14 games this year with three or more points. I just think he explodes this game, Sal. I'll take the number. I think this is a game where I think the Kings win this game 5 or 6-1. Sal, I think this game is a rout.
No, five. Say a five. Rout. Say 5-1. That's good. I'll take five. Yeah. Yep. That'll be good. All right. Harry, you have a prop. Are you like goals in this game too? Damn it, you guys.
Sure. I'm going to go Oilers. Zach Hyman to score a goal at plus 120. And when you think Edmonton Oilers offense, you would kind of guess that either Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl would lead them in goals.
Not anymore.
Maybe even Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. But nope, it's Zach Hyman. Hyman led Edmonton in goals in the regular season. He leads them with 6 goals in 4 playoff games so far. He scored at least one goal in 3 of the 4 games versus LA so far. And that includes a hat trick in game 1.
All right. We went over Hyman, though, Harry, the other day. You're not pulling this out. You're not introducing us to a new player here. I said the other day he scored 54 goals. Let's see.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Is this going to be like a dentist appointment
thing? I'll tell you what you are. Yeah. You are introducing us. Boy, what, you pulling out a hockey playoff total is a little surprising.
I know. I think the goalies show up. I don't know what to tell you. Okay. I'm anti everything here. I'm anti scoring for everything. Brother Brian, you're going with the other game here, Vegas and Dallas.
Yeah, I'll take the other game, and I'm going to take. Well, look, Vegas to win is +134, but I thought the better value is Vegas to win and Thompson to get 20 plus saves here.
Yeah,
is +155. Good. So I thought you're getting definitely better value, and I know you and I both like the Knights in Game 4. I thought. It seemed like the way that game was going early that the Knights were going to win that one, but then the Stars just completely outplayed them like the second half of that game. But we've seen the road teams, right? The road teams have won all 4 in the series so far. Knights were better on the road so far. Stars offensively much better on the road. So we're going to go back with Vegas winning on the road here. And like I said, for Thompson to get 20 saves is a lock that's going to happen. So the 2 together, +155.
All right. Now, are you afraid our friend Frank is going to listen to this and be very upset with you because his Dallas Stars, he grew up in Long Island. Now, listen, I know the Parlay Kid and I grew up in Long Island and root for the Cowboys, but to grow up in Long Island and root for the Dallas Stars for no reason other than you kind of like playing them on Sega.
Minnesota Stars, though, right? So it was the Minnesota Stars to start.
Yeah, it was the North Stars. Right? Yeah.
And he's a Vikings fan, too. So we got to give Frank a little bit. Look.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Put it this way.
At least he stayed with the Minnesota. I never even thought of that. Yeah. Minnesota.
Well, doesn't make sense, though.
No, it doesn't.
And here's the thing, Sal.
Yeah.
Don't give Frank any crap.
Yeah.
Because Harry doesn't even have a team to root for. Harry, hey, Darren, are you okay after the loss today? Harry, you don't even have a team to root for. How are you involved in anything sports related when you don't even have a favorite team in any sport? You have no team. How is that even a thing?
I feel like this comes like a half hour late.
I told Sal's son, Jack, that if the Utah hockey team that is now not going to be the Coyotes, if they take the Yetis for their nickname, that's my favorite team.
That's right. You know what? Just like you like Quebec because they started with a Q. You like the orange men because they're orange.
Yeah, right.
That's
why I wanted to go to Qatar.
You should still go. No, we're not getting it, right? Please go. Please go to Qatar.
How can you not be a fan of any single team?
I'll tell you this.
Like, you can't get on Frank for it. Good for Frank. At least he sticks with his Dallas.
Well, Harry started with Minnesota. Maybe he'll go Minnesota Star, North Star. Maybe he'll make the same journey Frank did. Who knows?
I mean, you know how bad it is, Harry, to, you know, when Darren is saying that Frank is a much better fan.
I know.
he's not wrong either. He's not wrong.
Listen, Darren, the other day in the car, I listened to the 30-30.
Finken is a bigger fan than you, Harry. He's a bigger fan of teams than you are.
He weighed right in on that poll.
He loves those Miami Marlins like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, man. Thank God we haven't heard from him.
I listened to the 30-30 the other day, Darren, in the car about the Big East. Listen to all about Syracuse.
Harry was a fan 40 years ago, and that's enough. All right, let's do baseball here. Meanwhile, my picks, I'm sorry, Mike Trout, I did this to you. I picked you for comeback player of the year.
Take your frustrations out on me, Darren.
Harry, we've moved on.
Take your frustrations out on me.
Shut up, Harry.
You're right.
All right. Trout is out. Just interrupted my next sentence here. He's out now. He has knees. He's going to have to get knee surgery. They don't think he's out for the year, but it's enough to kick him out of the comeback player of the year consideration, which I love them for, and I put money on it. There are no odds for comeback player of the year for 2025 because I guess I could bet him again. I don't know what's going on, but
he'll be back. He'll be back. I know.
He had a miraculous line with 10 home runs, 14 RBI. I really was hoping he'd end up with 50 homers and 54 RBIs. That would have been great for me. So anyway, I have to pick a new comeback, but the odds aren't out yet because everyone's baffled by this. More baseball. The Dodgers are back to being favored. They're plus 300. That didn't take a lot. Braves plus 450 now. Mets won over the Cubs. DJ Stewart with a three-run homer in the sixth. They went 4-2, but they blew a no-hitter the other day. Was that Monday? Severino got into the eighth. You know, you guys are so in my head where I can't even really root for a Severino no-hitter for the Mets, because then you're going to be like, oh, that's a Yankee that just pitched a no-hitter. Like, I can't even fully root for it. I mean, I'd like be able to say I could spin it and be like, you guys were dumb to let him go, but still, he's a Yankee. He's got that stink, that stench on him. I don't know what to do.
No. Yeah. Well, go ahead. You could have him, Sal. You could have him. We had Gooden's best performance ever on the mound. You could have Severino.
Yeah, but you didn't. No, but if Darryl Strawberry hit a home run to win the World Series for the Yankees, you wouldn't love, you know. He would be at the very last.
Strawberry kind of felt like a Yankee at that point. I got to be honest with you. He kind of felt like a Yankee when at that point.
Yeah, he did. He did have some scumbag qualities towards the end. But anyway, all right. Yankees lose to the O's. They're a game behind them in the division now.
Whatever.
But still favored to win the division at plus 100 O's. Yeah,
that's weird.
There's value, Bri, on the O's all year. There's going to be value on the Orioles. Plus 155.
To win
the division.
I mean, look, as Yankee fans, we know watching them, right? I mean, Mikey called it the other day. They had two back-to-back games where they scored 15. That makes sense. You know, you get shut out to the Orioles. You lose again to the Orioles. I don't know. There's still something... There's still something wrong with this team. There's too many guys. You know, halfway through this year, there's going to be six guys on this team that can't hit at all. There's no depth in their lineup. You know, Rizzo got hot for a stretch, but you can expect him and Stanton to do absolutely nothing. Torres has been awful. I mean, so I don't know. The whole team
I'm
right now.
At these averages, and I know I'm batting average. No one cares anymore. But I would kill for these averages, except for Judge 207, and I guess Stanton.
Gleyber Torres hasn't hit a home run in like 50 plus games.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, Brian's right. There's still something. There's something missing. It did seem like it was corrected earlier in the season, but we were just beating a bad Astros team at that time. But here's the thing, and I know this drives Brian crazy and it drives me nuts. I saw something happen in last night's game.
Do you see something? Say something. Yeah.
And it makes me sick.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Austin Wells lines a base hit to right, and Stanton gets thrown out, forced out at second by like 10 feet. The guy cannot run.
Right.
I'm telling you, and like Michael Kay's like, look, some people think we might be dogging it, but that's the best he could do. Sal, he cannot. If you cannot run, retire from the game.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. If you can't run, you know what? Swallow your pride. You made your money, and just leave the game. Mm-hmm. Because when I see that, and the Yankees got to hold on to this guy because they're paying him so much money because he could hit some home runs every once in a while. Sal, it's pathetic. This guy's supposed to be a professional athlete. He can't run.
The season's only 30 games in, Darren. Last year, you were up, down, up, down, up, down with the Yankees.
I'm just saying, no, but again, this is why you can't get yourself into these long-term contracts with these guys. Because
I thought you were going to say, this is why you can't pick a favorite team to root for. Like, this is why Harry's right.
The Yankees haven't gotten anything from Stanton anyway, except one good playoff series. But that's the stuff that I just don't like. The Yankees have no depth. And then look, I think they make the playoffs because their pitching has been very good. And they do have enough. I mean, it's only a matter of time before Judge probably hits to the back of his baseball card, right? It's the one guy I think that might. But here's the thing, right? And I just said it hits to the back of his baseball card. I'm sorry, I'm going on. The Yankees losing tonight was the least of my concerns.
Yeah.
But we keep hearing it from these guys, right? Oh, these guys will eventually hit. You know, they've done it before. We've heard that now for many years. And guess what? In the old days, it seemed like, guys picked it up. They got kind of close to the back of the baseball card. Nowadays, A guy who hit 280 one year could hit 210 this year. Like, it doesn't, it doesn't always happen that way anymore.
Right.
It just doesn't. So,
all right.
Well, the reverse has happened for Volpe this year. The reverse.
Well, Volpe's back to hitting. He's not lighting it up. He's hitting like 270. I know,
he's hitting 270, but he hit 210 last year.
All right,
but he's so young.
I don't know. Hold on. Darren, I don't know who slipped Darren a gummy tonight. Somebody.
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the FanDuel executives are laughing at you, Parlay Kid, because to make the playoffs, the Yankees are minus 780, which is way tops in the American League. Orioles are minus 440.
That's high.
And I agree. I just said
to get a number one seed, they're plus 155.
That's silly. They got to go. Baltimore's got the juice there. They got young.
All right, plus 260. That's not bad.
Who are going to get better as the year goes on. The Yankees are probably due for a Judge injury soon, right? And he's not hitting anyway. I'm telling you.
So what are those one seed odds you said?
One. So they have everything. They have one seed and they have first round. Mm. One seed is plus 155. Orioles are plus 260.
And what are like the Rangers?
Rangers are plus 750 for one seed.
And you could look at you should really look at the Guardians, because that division,
I was looking
stinks.
At that. I just don't know.
And the Guardians.
Yeah.
There was a thing where to win 100 games, the Guardians were like, I think you could have gotten like, to have the most wins, Guardians were like 40-1 or something and had the most wins at the time. You don't expect it to keep up, but you're right. That is a bad division. Very, very bad. All right. Listen, all this said, I'm taking the Yankees. I'm taking him Wednesday, plus 132, and I'm bucking the trend here because Corbin Burns kind of had his way with this Yankee lineup. Limited, but 2-for-32, this lineup, who we should see on Wednesday, is against him. Luis Gill on the mound for the Yankees, coming off a rough start against Burns' former team, the Brewers, but his four previous starts were decent. Volpe, Soto, still getting it done, I think, at the top of the order. And I really, in my notes, I have Giancarlo Stanton homers. And the Bombers stop the two-game skid. So there you go. Yankees also sit now 7-3 after a loss. I'm going to take them with the plus number. All right. Bri, you're taking the Mets, Cubs under 7.5. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm taking under 7.5. I'm just making sure that's still the line. Yep, under 7.5 here at minus 108. And look, the reason I like this, like Imanaga for the Cubs, been brilliant as a starter, right? Probably the best pitcher in baseball so far. Only given up 3 runs in his first 5 starts. ERA under 1. And then, like, if you look at the Cubs' offense, hasn't been great lately. And Jose Buto for the Mets has been really good for them. It has a 2.86 ERA. Mets too, not necessarily scoring a lot either lately. So I like this to be a really low scoring game. I feel like one of these teams is going to put up like one run, be like a 4-1 type game. So under 7.5.
Right. All right. Parlay Kid, you're going Phillies. Man, yeah, they screwed me Monday. I had a minus 1.5 and they weren't minus anything. They're losers.
And I think that's the one game that they're going to lose this series. And I think the tomorrow's matchup, I know I'm giving a 1.5 here, but you got a Zach Wheeler on the mound for Philly. Sal, obviously,
the one that got away.
I know he's 2-3, but he's got a 1.93 ERA, 0.88 WHIP. He's been very good. They're probably due to hit for him this game. His opposing, and no Mike Trout, like you just said, for this Angels team. Patrick Sandoval's on the mound for them. He's 1-4 already, Sal, with a 6.33 ERA, a WHIP about 1.8. He's been miserable. This Phillies team, they should break out the bats in game 3 here and win in a rout against this. I don't know how the Angels fans are doing it there. If Trout comes back, they should look to deal him as soon as he gets a couple base hits after when he returns.
Well, it's like
somebody will take him.
We got to see. Like, did the owner learn his lesson? He kept Ohtani thinking he would stay. Could have gotten, I don't know, maybe couldn't have gotten the bounty that we all think for him. But does he make that mistake again? We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. Harry, Astros, minus 1.5.
Yeah, minus 1.5. You're getting plus 125. Obviously, Houston is having uncharacteristic start to the season. But on Wednesday, I think it's Justin Verlander to the rescue for at least one game versus the Guardians in 10 plus innings. So far, Verlander has an ERA of just 1.74, and Cleveland's Tristan McKenzie has an ERA of almost 5 and has 17 walks in 22 innings pitched. Houston takes advantage at home, wins on the run line on Wednesday versus the AL Central leaders.
All right, lots of runs in the Tuesday game, which went extra innings. So I'll take a look at what happens Wednesday. And, oh, that's it, right? I did mine. Bri, you did yours. Parlay Kid did his. And then Harry did his, and that's it. That's really just the four of us that pick games. So now we could take a break, and we'll talk NFL, Shark Tank. The Tyson line is out. We'll be right back. Talk about it all. All right, NFL, I like to just jump on these. I love it. It's fun. They have the rookie numbers. So they have the quarterback numbers. We went over Caleb Williams on Cousin Sal's winning weekend, over under passing yards. Now they have the receivers, the pass catchers, I should say, because their numbers for Neighbors, Marvin Harrison, Rome Odunze, and Brock Bowers. Best bet for over under receiving yards, I'm going to go with Odunze over 675 and a half. I think I wrote under there, but I like over. It's one of the few. I know it's tough to bank on these rookies coming through, but I think he's going to be Caleb Williams' guy. I mean, he's the best contested. He had the best contested catch rate ever in college. I know you're a big Odunze fan, Bri, with Washington. You had him props all over the place. He's trustworthy. So Caleb Williams has got to like him. And they're supposed to use various three wide receiver sets. The one thing is it's the same offensive coordinator as Jaxon Smith-Njigba had. So that didn't work out so great. But maybe that guy, maybe he just isn't as good as Odunze. So also 675 and a half. Is 40 yards a game. You break free, you get a couple hundred yard games, and you don't need a lot more the rest of the year. So give me over on Rome Odunze, 675 and a half. Parlay Kid, you're going with the big gun here. 1,050 and a half for Harrison.
Yeah, at first, Sal, I was going to go under, but then upon further review, I said, I got to go over with Harrison here, Sal. Again, like you're saying, this is a much bigger number than Odunze's number. That's for sure. But look, we've seen these rookie receivers have been really good throughout the past several years, right? Like they kind of burst out of the gate. I think Harrison's going to do the same thing. I mean, Murray's got to throw the ball to somebody there, right? I know they've maybe upgraded their roster a little bit, but I think their coach there, the former Eagles offensive coordinator, is a very good offensive mind. He's going to find ways to get Harrison involved. And I think Murray is going to love this kid. He's got everything you want in a receiver. He's got size. He's got speed. He's got great hands. I think from day one, he's their number one. Like you said, you're asking him to get about 60 yards a game here, Sal, over the course of a season. So, Doable. I think I love Harrison.
I mean, he's definitely their number one. I'm looking at what else they have. Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch. I get Dortch had good numbers, Harry, last year, I guess. I mean, he was kind of like their lead receiver for a while.
Yeah, but you take away,
tight end.
Yeah. I mean, they lost receivers in free agency. And you look at Wilson, I think, is the best receiver on that team from last year.
He's number one.
He had like 38 receptions last year.
Right. Okay.
I'm saying Harrison's number one. McBride's a pretty good tight end, by the way.
Came on late. Definitely.
Yeah. All right. So Harry, Neighbors is somewhere between Harrison and Odunze, 840 and a half, but you like under.
I do. Look, he's a tremendous athlete, fast, strong, great hands, but unfortunately his quarterback is garbage. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones, has gone over 3,000 yards just once in the last 4 years. And the Giants now no longer have Saquon Barkley to keep the defense honest. Plus, I got a couple numbers here that are crazy numbers here. The Giants have not had a wide receiver to have more than 60 receptions since 2020. And they haven't had a wide receiver to have more than 800 yards, not even 1,000, 800 yards since Eli was the quarterback back in 2018. That's sad.
Interesting. Are you sad about that, Brian? I'm not that sad. I gotta be honest.
Sad numbers.
You're not even a Giants fan, Harry. You used to be, I think. If we go back,
that's why I hit the road. It's terrible.
That's why. All right.
Well, I'll tell you if Neighbors is under that yardage, it's going to be a problem for the Giants. because I mean, that's an automatic switching quarterbacks, which probably is happening anyway, year two, by the time they have a good quarterback.
Neighbors is going to be in
his like fourth year, want out of the Giants.
Beckham was the last Giant to have over.
They're comparable. Yeah. They definitely are comparable players. But I'm going to go Bowers, Brock Bowers. Unfortunately, I'm going to take him under 600.
I didn't see his thing in there. So they have tight ends too.
It was,
he was the one guy.
He was the one guy in addition to the other ones that they have with receiving yards. But look, should Brock Bowers with the 13th pick in the draft get over 600 yards? Of course he should. But, and I'm not questioning the player here. It's more the Raiders offense. They didn't use Mayer last year, and they didn't use Mayer enough last season. They want to be a run heavy team this season. And look, unfortunately, first round tight ends just don't have great success. And it is funny. If you look back at probably all the first round tight ends, actually Pitts was probably one of the few that was actually good in terms of yards.
Is that right?
He had over 1,000 yards his rookie year, which is crazy to think that he actually did. But look, I mean, I'm hoping, can you get what Laporta did? I mean, he was a second round pick, but can you get what Laporta did? Can Bowers do that? I'm hopeful that he can. It just seems like whether or not it's an injury or something else, 600 seems like could be a lot for a top tight end in the draft.
It's so bizarre. It's also bizarre where these guys end up. This is going to kill you, Bri. Or maybe you'll like it, but I read like a lot of the executives said Aiden O'Connell would have been for sure a top three quarterback this year in the draft. For sure. I'm not making a joke. Like I've read that. Like, yeah, multiple GMs and executives said Aiden O'Connell would have been, I don't know who gets the boot there. There's like Drake May, sorry, Aiden O'Connell. I don't know.
That's a really weird statement because look, I mean, can O'Connell be accurate?
I think he was better the junior year than the senior year or whatever the hell.
Look, O'Connell's he's also a little older, O'Connell.
Yeah.
And look, the problem with O'Connell is, look, if O'Connell could move O'Connell's good in that he gets rid of the ball quick. He's very accurate, but he can't move at all. So,
right.
I mean, you got to be able to move a little bit in the pocket. If he could I'd feel a little more confident at quarterback right now.
All right. Let's hit Shark Tank. You guys give me your best bets for the weekend. I know people listening to Wednesday, like, what? Why is he making them pick games the weekend? It's just how the damn schedule lays out. I don't know what to tell you here. Now, who did I go with last week? Bri, you had Virginia. You bet that was your first lacrosse
bet. You went
bet.
With me, Sal.
I did probably get LeBron triple-double. That wasn't really close, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, all right. Wasn't close. That was last Thursday. And Harry, you had Xander and Cantlay top five, and like three holes into 72 holes, you were like doing a lap because they were like in third or something.
It was at the end of Friday's round, but yes. All right.
So okay. Harry. Well, all right. I'll let you go first. Give me your sharp tank.
Okay.
Bet. Yeah.
Well, obviously I gave out the Nuggets to win the game one and to win the series earlier in the pod. So I'm going to take the Nuggets minus, like you said, Sal, down to 4.5 versus the T-Wolves in game one. I'm going to lay the 4.5. The Nuggets have won by 6 or more points in game ones of playoff series in 5 straight series. I mentioned earlier, they beat Minnesota last year in the playoffs in game one by 29 points. And 5 of those 6 first games, Denver won by 11 points or more, which bodes well to your -9.5, Sal. So we'll see how that goes on Saturday. Denver has 3 guys so far averaging 23 points or more in the playoffs. And Aaron Gordon is averaging 14-10. And in game 3 versus LA, he was the guy. He was the guy for Denver. He went off for 29-15 that game. I just think overall here, Denver better team than the Wolves. Not by much, but still better and covering game one.
I got to say, I'm going to make an announcement. I don't think I've ever said this before. I think 4.5 is the scariest line in sports.
When a
football team is favored by 4.5, I'm like, ugh. And the Knicks were favored by 4.5, right? At least for a minute they were. I don't trust 4.5 for a home team. I'll think about it. And when a hockey team is laying 4.5 pucks, I'm like, whoa, this is definitely, something's definitely up here. Now, all right. So, all right, Harry, I'll take that into consideration. Bri, you're going same game. Gobert over 13.5 points on Saturday.
Yeah, look, I got Virginia right last week in lacrosse getting 2.5. They lost by 2. but they were in that game. It's funny because the lines just came out for lacrosse this weekend. And they have, they're rematching because now it's the conference championship. So it's funny. There's another Notre Dame Virginia game on Friday, which I don't want to, I don't want to touch that one yet. So I'm going to stick with basketball here. Gobert over 13.5 points, minus 113. Yeah, like we said, not necessarily a ton to take this weekend, but before game four, he averaged 17 points per game in the first three of that Sun series. He had 14 or more in five straight games prior to that game four. And look, we know he's not an offensive player, but he gets enough dunks, enough putbacks, enough little floaters. And surprisingly, Gobert does go to the free throw line like a good amount. And it happens a lot in these playoff games. And in the Nuggets series last season, he did have 14 or more in four of the five games. He is, you know, he is a factor. It's funny because you'd expect him to be a much better defensive player in the series. He has struggled forever, I feel like, guarding Jokic.
Right.
But he does, offensively, he does enough against Jokic. So I like him here at over 13.5.
All right. You know, you got me looking now at these lacrosse matchups here and the lines. You know, it's crazy. Yeah. Player props. They have Tiernan over 2.5 goals at Johns Hopkins. Is that right?
Yeah, that's possible? Probably a fair. That's probably a fair line.
It's all Big Ten. All Big Ten.
That's a John Glenn line. Graduate, friends of the Sicolis. Yep. What's his first name? It's not Keith.
Justin
Tiernan. Justin. All right, look for him in Michigan.
Justin Tiernan.
They're 3.5 goal underdog to Johns Hopkins,
but we know you're taking Hopkins -400 with a couple -1000s with the Jokic most Canelo assists either. In the series.
Canelo, that's this week, right? Is that Cinco de Miles this week, right?
It's crazy that snuck up on me too, out of nowhere.
Is he going up? Is he going down? I don't even know what to think anymore. I mean, he's about where he's been every fight for the last 10 years, -450.
And look, I would say with Canelo, I mean,
actually 550 now. Yeah.
I think the best bet for Canelo fights recently is just Canelo by decision.
His power. Kind of.
I would say by decision is a fair, but they have some, like, even in, like, most punches landed. It's funny that it's kind of even most punches land.
Interesting.
Most punches thrown.
I'm going to be putting that on something. Celtics game 7. I don't know. I'll have something in there. Parlay Kid, staying with the pugilistic sports here. There is a UFC card. This is 301, right?
Yeah. And I've been, I think I've hit my last three. I lost my last one. Did I?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I thought I was on a roll, but now that you mention it.
You mentioned it.
I think I did lose. I think I did lose my last one, right?
All right.
Wasn't it LeBron?
No, he's talking about
UFC. No, not my sharp UFC. Take. My last UFC. Oh, UFC? Michael, 3-1 in my last four overall.
That's fine.
But I think UFC. I lose my last UFC?
We could go back and look in a few weeks.
Either way.
Yeah.
I think I'm 3-0 in my last three UFC picks. I'm almost positive on sharp. My last three Sharp Tank picks in UFC. I had Pereira.
Oh my God! Let's give us a new one. Pantoja by submission +240.
Pantoja by submission at +240. He's won two. First of all, he's beaten some really good competition in his last four fights. Royval twice, Moreno once. Two out of his four last fights have been by some wins by submission. He's fighting Steve Ursaeg, and I think I'm saying that name right, who has not fought nearly the caliber of the fighters that Pantoja has had. I'm doing a little Harry theory here. Where Ursaeg's nickname his nickname is Astro Boy.
Oh.
And Pantoja is the cannibal. Okay, so just that alone. Harry, am I right? The nickname factor, the cannibal versus Astro Boy.
What's Astro Boy?
Is a landslide of a fight. Pantoja is known for submitting his opponents. He really is a super underrated fighter. Really didn't get to know him until his Moreno fight. Really, I was kind of came on late to this guy, but boy, he's very well-rounded. Ursaeg is just not at his level. He'll submit him somewhere second round to round four, and we cash here at plus 240.
All right, I'm going to go with you here, Parlay Kid. I'm going to trust that you've won your last three. I know you've won your last one.
The cannibal.
Like
who's called the cannibal against Astro Boy?
Do you think they figured that into the line? I don't know. I don't know if they figured
they
that out.
They should. Yeah. I mean, they should. I mean, that's who would be nicknamed the Astro Boy?
That's interesting. Oh, my gosh. That's interesting. Mm. All right. That's Sharp Tank. Mm. I'm going with the Parlay Kid. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, so the Tyson fight is set. Well, I mean, they threw a line on it because it was sanctioned, right? It was a question, Bri, if this was even, everyone was going to make this legit or if this was going to have to be an exhibition with oversized gloves. Maybe they would fight with, maybe be a pillow fight. They had no idea what this was going to be. But it is a sanctioned fight, and I did see a line on it, minus 170 for Paul and plus 140 for Tyson. Now, when this very first came out, and you couldn't really bet on it. You didn't know what kind of fight this was going to be. Wasn't it minus 500 for Paul?
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened?
The initial. But I think even though they sanctioned it, right? Isn't it going to be like 2 minute rounds?
They still don't know what gloves. They still don't know.
I think the gloves are a little bigger. And I thought it was going to be 2 minute rounds.
Okay, so
which would significantly favor Tyson.
Sure. Yeah.
But. You know,
make them 20 again, second rounds and I'll love Tyson.
Yeah. Right, exactly. The question is just going to be, can he take a punch anymore?
I know.
Can he last more than 30 second outbursts? You know, like
I feel like I'm going the opposite way, everyone. I was excited for a minute when this came out. And now I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to get this. This is kind of sad.
Well, it's
this
Netflix, is, so yeah. I think it's, I don't,
oh, that's
I don't
true.
Know.
Yeah, yeah, I think yeah. It, no, I know. I might cancel. I might cancel Netflix after the roast. I think I'm done with it. That's it. The roast will be a bigger bloodbath for sure. Harry, checking in on your anniversary. Is your anniversary actually today?
It's today.
Nice. Yeah. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Harry, 2 years. 2 years.
Harry got engaged on the podcast, got engaged, got married. He gave a pick during the vows and somehow stayed together for 2 years. And what's the secret is to travel aimlessly, right?
I last year I was in Barcelona for my anniversary. So didn't get to spend time with her there. And then,
I guess you're getting better.
Today I got off a plane at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Mm-hmm. So at least I made it, ran to the mall.
I
was going to say grocery store. I ran to the mall and got a gift and got 80% off.
Wow! Wow! Well, what was?
Don't want to say it too
loud.
Was
it jewelry?
Yeah, jewelry. Yeah.
That's strange because before the pod, you said you had 60% off. Like I don't know.
No, I didn't. I said no. Here,
no, you know, no. You said 60. No. You said 60.
Hear me out. My friend. Mother works at this jewelry store.
I like how you're hushed tones now. It's like she's got her glass to the door.
I got 50% off, and then I got an extra 30% off for employee discount.
Right. And so what does that put it at?
Yeah, you don't add them together. That's not how the percentages
He's
work.
He's got 160% off, Bri. You understand?
80. Keep cashing, Brian. Keep cashing.
Well, I think that's part of the problem. It's like 65% off or whatever the number is. But
okay.
All right, but I'm going to get bottom line, when you ran your credit card, I'm going to say under $110.50.
No, still over.
Really? Wow. Look at you.
Over 200.
Wow. No kidding.
Barely.
Yeah. Yeah. Barely.
Of course. A necklace? What was it?
He doesn't know.
A bracelet.
The tennis bracelet.
Wait, where's the, like are you guys, grade. Were you going to dinner at all? I know it's only 8:40 there, but.
No, not dinner.
No, tomorrow. You are going to celebrate it somewhere, right?
Boy, Red Lobster's out of business.
I know. They are. He was bragging about.
You mentioned that last pod. You mentioned that.
Where did
that.
You go, Harry? You drowned your sorrows at Red Lobster and shrimp after a crazy loss. Oh, it was a Purdue loss. Purdue won, right? And then you got mad. It went to Red Lobster. Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't it seem like 5 or 6 years ago that Cunningham didn't give Harry a gift though? It seems like so long ago.
Cunningham can't find the 80% off. Otherwise, it'd be a gift for him. Right. All right. Well, happy birthday. Happy anniversary to you and happy everything to you and Angie. What do I want to say? Oh, quick little league update for Harrison. Mikey Meatballs would be proud. Not about this first part that I'm going to say, but Harrison actually caught, he was in a tournament this weekend. I think he caught like 17 of 21 innings and he was a wreck walking off. Just a 10-year-old wreck zombie walking off the field. But they fight all the way back to get to the finals now. This is Sunday, like at 5 p.m. It's a long, long day in Pico Rivera, California. I couldn't even tell you. I was blindfolded driving there. So Harrison leads off, but he also plays catcher, right? So we're the road team because this is the lower seed we're playing. Harrison gets up to bat and the coach is like, no. We get to determine we want to bat first, which is a weird thing anyway, to want to bat first, right? Like you're already home. You got the better seed. You're going to be home. Mm-hmm. Umpire's like, all right. So Harrison goes, gets his catcher's gear on. And the umpire's like, hey, I just called the commissioner. You have to be the home team. You can't just decide that you want to bat first. So Harrison gets all his catchers. This is like a 15-minute fiasco now. Now the coaches are arguing. It's crazy. So Harrison gets gear on, gear off, gets to bat, very first pitch, slammed right in the ribs. Down for like three minutes. Like down, face first, on the ground, sprawled out for a good 3 minutes. And when they got him up, he did catch. And we lost 11-8. So that's the end of that. Have you ever heard of that, Parley Kid? The team wanting to bat first and then where is that ever a thing? I don't even know.
No, that's never a thing. That's never a thing. No. What?
Never heard of that.
Why?
I guess
does this guy know baseball?
No idea.
Have you questioned?
He was a pain.
Have you questions?
Oh, he was a pain in the ass the whole game. He was on his phone. It was like the guy. Then there's that thing, and every coach does this now. Like when there's like you have to, if this inning isn't complete in 8 minutes, then the other team that we don't start a new inning kind of thing, and they're just slow play and everything. Meetings at the mounds. Pinch runners after the kid has stolen bases, you know, like everything to keep it so that another inning starts because it's an hour 40 drop dead or six innings. So like an hour and 34. I'm sorry, it's a 2 hour drop dead. Can't start inning after an hour 35 and it's six innings at most. So anyway, whatever. So it's just, there's so many politics. I don't know. It sucks probably, kid, the youth sports now. It really is.
Is that why he'd want to bat first, maybe, thinking that the game would not be a complete game?
Maybe.
At some point?
I don't know.
You'd always revert back to, I guess, the last full inning anyway.
Do that too. Right. I don't know. I think it was just a power trip there anyway. Harrison, look, still laying first down, head down in the dirt.
You know,
there you go. Then for Harry's anniversary. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to say it's Al. No, and also, I'm going to say Harrison. No tears.
You lose that bet, too. Although you couldn't tell. At least this was good. At least it was good because his head was down and he was like covered and, you know, stuff like that. So you couldn't really tell. So by the time he got up, there were no tears. But he was. I think he was crying.
So it sounds like you didn't go onto the field. Did Melissa say she wants to go on? You're like, no, you can't go on the field. I think that
enough coaches were around them that I did my typical thing, like, way to wear it, kid. I said that about six times in 3 minutes, and then eventually he got up. But no, yeah, nobody went on the field. Way to wear it, kid. That's what you say, right, Farley Kid? Way to wear it.
That's good.
No.
I guess that's what would be
I'm
said.
Trying to get him motivated, guess, right? To get to his feet.
No, you're like, but deep down inside, you were like, get the F up, kid. F up, kid. Yeah. That's what you were saying.
Right. Yeah. Like Mikey Meatball saying he doesn't care about the Islanders' loss. I'm like, deep down, there's a whole different persona. All right. So that's it for Against All Odds. Check in with us. Cousin Sal's winning weekend, Friday morning, FanDuel TV. It's these three guys. It is Kenny Mayne. We're going to have NBA picks. We're going to have hockey picks. We're going to have derby picks, all that and more. That does it for Against All Odds. For Mikey Meatballs and the D3, I'm Sal saying so long. Happy handicapping and happy anniversary to Harry and Angie. Must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.